the flesh, there's condemnation. There's going to be judgment. If you're a child of, listen, if you're a child of God and you don't do right, what is God going to do? He's going to chasten you. And if you have no chastening in your life, then you're not his. That's what the Bible says. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. So you still have the curse of the old man. And if you live in the flesh, you're going to follow the law of sin. Well, you can't. You got to reckon that dead and yield to the Holy Ghost. Are y'all following me? That's every day. Now look at me. You do dumb, stupid, carnal stuff. You're not in the Spirit. You do worldly stuff. You're not in the Spirit. When your whole want-to is worldly entertainment, fleshly satisfaction, that is not of the Holy Ghost. We got people that because they go to church and tithe, they think that they're great Christians. Good night. The Muslims go to church more often than saved people go to church. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You know what we have a problem with? Condemning sin. The reason we do is because we participate in so much of it. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Just a few verses, but it's about not walking in the flesh and about walking in the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Is this book here a spiritual book? How much time do you spend in this? And how much time do you spend on your devices? And listen, I don't care about the websites, okay? We got churches, they got their own Facebook sites. They got their own Instagram sites. So you can find any kind of saved person you want to back up what you want to do. That doesn't make it right. Well, I feel good when I see it. Well, that's the flesh. Are y'all with me? See, as pastor of the church, it's my responsibility before the Lord to lead you in the right way so you can get some victory in your life. Is that right? And you'll get no victory in your life when you walk in the flesh. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Carnal folks have no peace in their heart. Every little circumstance, every little bump in the road, it just throws them for a loop. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. What's the only solution for the flesh? Death. Amen. You can't control the flesh. Amen. It has to die. Back in the book of Esther, they had to hang Haman. And then they had to kill his sons. So you got to get rid of Amalek and all its relatives. Amen. You don't believe that. I know you don't believe that, but that's why you got no power. That's why you got no close walk with the Lord. Because he says right there, verse 6, carnally minded is death, spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh, what? Cannot please God. Wait a minute. Our whole purpose for being here is to please him. Guys, something has gone wrong in our independent Baptist churches, and that we think we are here to get rich, to buy things, to visit places, to do this and to do that, and not to please God. Amen. You have got to give that Pakistani man that was here Sunday night a lot of credit. He's born and raised in Pakistan. I mean, guys, that's a dump. That is a dump. He gets over here, he's pretty intelligent, gets a education, gets into banking. According to his testimony, he's making a bunch of money and living the American dream. And then the Holy Ghost works in his heart, and he's ready to throw all that aside to do what? Go preach the gospel in a dumpy country that's dangerous. I'd say that's not the works of the flesh. I'd say that's the Holy Ghost. Well, we have the same response. We may not be called to go to a foreign country, but we are called to please God. Amen. We are called to preach the gospel to every creature. We are called to live a holy life. Amen. I don't understand people who don't want to stick out for the Lord. Do you understand me? I want to stick out for Him in a good way. Amen. Not in an arrogant way or an unkind way. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians 5, look at verse number 16. This I say then, Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, you know me. I'm not trying to mess with the Word of God. But what's another way? What's another way to say that verse? Say that again. I can't hear you. Well, that is true. It says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How about if we say this? Walk in the flesh and you shall not walk in the Spirit. You can't have it both ways. You can't have one part of your life in the flesh and one part in the Spirit. Okay, you just can't do that. And so, do you understand that if you do not yield yourself to the Holy Ghost of God and walk, do you understand you are capable of all the works of the flesh? Amen. Look down there, okay? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Now, we are living in a culture, they think adultery is okay. In fact, they glamorize adultery. I'm telling you, adultery is wicked. I am telling you, if you're not faithful to your husband, if you're not faithful to your wife, you are wicked, wicked, wicked. Amen. Nothing right about it. No excuses for it. But you watch enough TV, Hollywood movies, and go to enough internet sites, you're going to think, well, you know, everybody's doing it, so it must be okay. It's not okay. But I tell you this right now, everyone in this room, that if you walk in the flesh, you can commit adultery. Amen. That's a wicked sin. Amen. Dan, I watched my father break my mother's heart over adultery. I was lost. My mom and dad were lost. My mom was a virgin when she got saved. My mom only knew one man. That was her husband, Joseph T. Keenan. My father was a whoremonger and an adulterer. And my mother found out about it, and I'm telling you, it broke my mom's heart. Never saw her so broken. I told that lady right there, I said, I am not going to commit adultery on you. They may say a lot of things about Mike Keenan when he's in the coffin, but one thing they can't say is I cheated and committed adultery on my wife. No, I'm not. But I tell you what, I get in the flesh, I could do it. Just like anybody else in here could do it. Amen. Look, go on. Fornication. You could be a queer. Guys, there is more people that went to independent Baptist churches as children coming out and going as sodomites. So what is that? That's the flesh. Hey, let me put this out as a warning. I'm not the FBI, and I'm not coming around your house, and I'm not checking your phone or your iPod. But if you're on sites you got no business being on, you better get right with God. And you better get rid of that device. If you can't control that device, get rid of it. And pornography is fornicating. Pornography is adultery. Pornography is addictive. Pornography will pervert your mind. And you married people, don't you be watching pornography and then take it into the marriage bed. There's nothing right about that. Your wife isn't a whore. Fornication, uncleanness. Well, we are living in an unclean society. Amen. Hey, listen to me. It's not spiritual to be a slob. Amen. That's good preaching right there. Amen. About your appearance, about your house, about your car, about your room. Say amen right there. So I wasn't raised that way. Then repent and get right and get clean.
Amen.
Yeah. Besides, the person sitting next to you would appreciate you being clean and using a little deodorant. Amen. It's good preaching right there. Lasciviousness. Boy, that's just all kinds of covetousness. And we're living in a covetous society, aren't we? You know what some people do? They spend hours just looking at stuff they could buy. My Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. My Bible says, with food and raiment, therewith to be content. Amen. Well, it looks like you people have plenty of food.
Wow.
And I don't think one of you today wore the same thing you wore on Sunday.
Amen.
And yet you're not what? We're not content. Lasciviousness, idolatry. There's more idol. I know you think idolatry. You think about the statues out in the backyard. There's a whole lot more to idolatry than statues out in the backyard. Amen. Anything or anybody that you put ahead of Jesus Christ in your life is an idol. In the flesh, we could do this. Witchcraft. You wouldn't think that a saved person would mess around with a Ouija board, would you? You wouldn't think a saved person would look at, what's that, those charts that used to be in the newspapers?
Astrology.
Huh?
Astrology.
Horoscopes. Horoscopes. You know, some people, they can't start their day without checking with a horoscope. Well, I hope you have horror all day for checking your horoscope. How dumb can you be? You know, stars on. Hatred. Uh-huh. You got hatred in your heart and you say you're full of the Holy Ghost? You carry hatred, you carry bitterness, you carry ugliness for years and years, and you say you're full of the flesh. Variance, emulations. At emulations, you desire to be superior to other people. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. We could murder. Listen. You can murder without literally putting somebody to death with your tongue. It's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible says. Murders, drunkenness. Good night. I've heard of missionaries going to the mission field. Good missionaries going to the mission field, getting on the mission field, and then messing around with strong drink and becoming drunks and coming off the mission field. So that never happened to me. In the flesh, it could happen to you.
Amen.
He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And so I left off with a life, your carnal, when there's no fruit in your life. Some people's influence is nothing but negative. We should have a positive influence on lives. And then go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, a carnal life is a life that is pictured as an adulterous infidelity. Adulterous infidelity, a carnal life. James 4:4. Look at James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? I mean, that is not a compliment. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Is that strong language or is that strong language?
Amen.
You know, they made the accusation to the Lord that he was a friend to what? A friend to sinners. We should be a friend to sinners. What's the best way to be a friend to a sinner? Tell them about the Lord.
Amen.
That's just strong language, guys. Adultery. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Now, let's face it. Everything that you and I know about the world is attractive to the flesh. And the reason is because the devil is the god of this world. And he knows how to trip up saved people. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Guys, what we need to remember as saved people, okay, is what the world's attitude is towards the Lord Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be here on his business. We have this little thing we call life, this little time, this little portion of time to do something in our generation for the glory of God that cannot be done in the flesh. I copied this down. The world is Satan's eyes, ears, hands, and feet combined to fashion his most cunning weapon for defeating God by captivating the hearts and souls of men and women and boys and girls. The world. What are the younger generation fleeing the independent Bible-believing Baptist churches for? The world. When they become of age. Why? Because they've lived in the flesh. There's no desire for the things of God. The world is Satan's den for the unsaved. The world is the lure. You know what I mean by a lure, like a fishing lure? To the saved people to keep them from God. Somebody said it this way. The world is human life and human society with God left out. How's America doing since they want to put God out? No, we're not doing very good. So what I'm going to do is I am going to chase a rabbit for the rest of my time here about the flesh. And what I want you to do is go to the book of Romans chapter 13. What I'm going to pick up on next week is what should our relationship with the world be if we're not going to walk in the flesh but yield to the Holy Ghost? But what I want to do is spend some time on this thought tonight, Romans 13, verse 12. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Where should your honesty begin? This is a trick question. You ought to be honest with yourself. Lots of people deceive themselves or allow the devil to deceive them. That's part of the flesh. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. How do most people live their life? Saved people. Their feelings dominate their life. Their emotions control their life. Instead of yielding to the Holy Ghost and living a life based on Bible principles and teachings. Your emotions, your feelings are not going to line up with the Bible. Amen. It's my job as a pastor to teach you that, to preach on it. A double-minded man is what? A double-minded man filled with the Spirit or walking in the flesh? Pretty obvious. Think back of all the times you've been double-minded. And yet you've said, the Lord led me to do this. You said it the first time, and then you changed your mind. You said, well, I prayed about it, and the Lord. And double-mindedness is a work of carnality. It's a work of the flesh. The Bible is real clear on this subject. There's all kinds, okay? A person living in the flesh and for the flesh, that's a great hindrance to the Christian life. You're not going to have victory. And we are living in an absolute in the atmosphere today of living in the flesh, and people promote it. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. I am telling you, the flesh is the biggest cause of defeat, discouragement, depression, and destruction in people's lives today. The flesh. It's not the devil. And the devil may use the world. I'm telling you, I think it's epidemic in churches. I think there's many safer folks that are seriously making provision for the flesh in their lives, and they're being deceived about it, thinking they're doing good. When you are living in the flesh, you're really living a rebellious life against the word. And when you live a rebellious life, it will always be a destructive life. How many times have we looked at somebody making bad decisions based on the flesh, and we say what? They're ruining their lives. Amen. And it's the flesh. I had a guy in my house today, and he said that I started witnessing to him. I need something done. And so, you know, I asked him if he was a born-again Christian. He said, I am. I said, oh, well, praise the Lord. Where do you go to church? And he goes to some church in Ephrata. And he said this. He said, I'm actually a deacon there. Just been a deacon for a while. So I get a chance to help a lot of people. I said, oh, that is great. He said, but I'm learning something. I said, what's that? A lot of people don't really want help. I said, well, if I could tell you from 46 years of pastoring, 45 years of pastoring, I said, you can only help people that want help.
Amen.
How bad do we want help? It's like the folks that come for counsel to pastor. And really, what you're looking for is you're looking for me to tell you what you think you ought to do. And when I tell you something different than that, well, that can't possibly be the Lord. But when I tell you what you think you should do, oh, I am full of the Holy Ghost, and I have the mind of God, and I am such a spiritual leader. So you don't really come for counsel. You come to verify what you're going to do. Now, you're not wanting help. It's epidemic. People are making provision for their flesh. How about you? You make provision for your flesh? Bible, did we not read right there? Make not provision for the flesh? Well, what are you interested in? You know, some people, if it's not fun, they're not going to do it. Is that all, what your life is all about? Fun?
Nope.
Worldly adventure? Entertainment? I guess that goes along with fun, huh? I really can't compete with the movies you watch, the videos you see online. No light show behind me. No visuals, just the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
But see, if you come through that door with a heart hungering and thirsting after righteousness, I can probably help you.
Amen.
Sort of depends on what you've been eating.
Amen.
But that's what, and then we have all these fleshly lusts, and everything's about friends. Well, thank God for good friends, but friends don't decide what I'm going to do and not going to do. It's no matter what the flesh wants, that's what we're going to do. That's what we want. And so what do we have? We have the bigger problem today of our children not growing in the Lord. Because our children see what the mothers and fathers do, what they want. They hear their conversations when the church folks aren't around. And so are we encouraging them to not make provision for the flesh? Are we encouraging them to follow the Lord wholeheartedly? Or are we really encouraging them to fulfill the lust of the flesh and chase after the fun of the world? Then it becomes heart issues in our children, and we go, I don't understand why my child doesn't want to serve the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, I'll pick up in verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of what? Doing the will of God from the heart. Do you see, parents, that verse 6 is also going along with fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, and that God wants us to bring them up as servants of Christ doing the will of God? And so I think it would be very important to you that you would want to teach your children not to make provision for their flesh. See, a person who makes provision for their flesh, they're really not walking honestly before the Lord. They're deceived. You want to believe that you desire, you want people to believe that you desire to live for the Lord, but you're really following back. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Make not provision for the flesh. Psalm 19, let me pick up in verse 12. Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Are there things about you I do not know about?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad about that?
Yes, sir.
Are there things about you God does not know about?
Nope.
Why doesn't that bother you? Why do you think you're successful because pastor doesn't know, and yet God does? Verse 13, keep back thy servants also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Now, y'all know what presumptuous mean. It's arrogant. It's insolent. It's irreverent with respect to sacred things. It's bold. It's confident to excess. It's willful. It's in violation of known duty. But it's also presumptuous sins is sins that you hide. You think because you hid them that you've gotten away with them. That's making provision for the flesh. Presumptuous sins. You know it's wrong. And you know other people know it's wrong. And then also, you know, when you continue in those presumptuous sins, you know what you're saying? God's not going to deal with me about this. You're going to presume that God won't do anything. And really, you continue it because it's an idol in your heart. You love that more than you love the Lord. Another thing that will make provision for the flesh is a lack of fellowship with God. I really believe, I have told you guys this. Go to 1 John chapter 1. I've told you this over and over and over. I believe the problems in our churches is saved people that are sitting in the pews that do not have a very close, personal, intimate, fervent, real relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't say they're not saved. They just not, they're not in fellowship with the Lord. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to pick up in verse 6. The Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There are some people that I am closer to than I am closer to them, to blood relatives of mine. Why? Because we're in fellowship with the Lord, and it's easy to have fellowship with them. And then there's other saved people, they endure me for an hour or so. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because I just go too far. Wow, that's all I want to talk about. Or I'm critical of this, that, or the other thing. That's what it's about. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, see, how do you maintain fellowship? Got to confess those sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So a lack of fellowship, okay, a lack of fellowship is making provision for the flesh. To keep fellowship with the Lord, the key is that confession of sin. Would you agree with me? It would be examining ourselves on a regular basis. That fellowship with God, you'd have to let God talk to you on a regular basis, right? Amen. Guys, listen, I don't mean to be unkind, but it's just elementary to read your Bible every day. Okay? Listen, if you don't read your Bible every day, I don't care how long you've been saved, you're a baby. Amen. And so what has to happen? I have to feed you. Like, so the only feeding that you get is when you go to church. Well, that shouldn't be. Amen. If you are a mature Christian growing in the Lord, going to walk in the Spirit, you got to have fellowship with God. Amen. I forget who I was talking to. Nan and I visited the Mather family. They helped us get that first church started, and they were there with us the whole time. Great people, great good church members, never gave me any trouble, loved the Lord, and supported me, loved me. We got taught, Mary always loved the Bible. From the first day I started preaching, she's just a baby in the Lord, 1 or 2 years old. She loved that book, Dan, and she loved preaching. And she went through some tumultuous times in her life, family times, children times, things like that, friends and stuff. Every time she went through something, she would come to me and she'd say, the Lord showed me this verse. When we were fellowshipping with her, this is 20-some years later, she says, when we went through this, the Lord gave me this verse, and she quoted the verse. She said, when we went through this with the Lord gave me this verse, and she quoted the verse. She's in fellowship with the Lord. Well, you don't read your Bible. When you don't read your Bible every day, you make provision for your flesh. And you're not in fellowship with the Lord. And then if you're going to have fellowship with somebody, you need to talk. Right, Charity? You got to communicate. Okay, you read your Bible. God's going to, you got to talk to God. And it's not, now I lay me down to sleep. And it's not, Lord, thank you for the chocolate cake. You got to commune with him.
Amen.
It's just fellowship. What do we have to do if we're going to grow? If we're going to become disciples? If we're going to be servants of the Lord? We have to believe God. We have to be willing to apply his word to our life. Now, I know we're good at saying so-and-so should do this and so-and-so shouldn't do this, but what about personal? Amen. Are we making the personal applications? And then can I say something else? You read your Bible, you're going to find every great man, every great woman, okay? There's sometimes they didn't have nobody with them. They went alone. And I'm telling you, if you can't stand alone, if you can't walk alone with the Lord, you're not going to make it. Because there's just going to be times that it's just going to be you. And if you can't handle that, then you're making provision for the flesh for somebody to prop you up or do whatever. That's not it. What you ought to remember is the Lord gave you a promise that he'd never leave you. And he'd never forsake you. So really, you're never alone. You have him. That's what he says in Hebrews. So this thing about not making provision for the flesh. Really, what is the answer? Well, I don't mean to be oversimplified, but don't yield to yourself. Yield to God. Romans, let's go to Romans 6, and I will try to finish up. Would you all agree with me? Am I on the right track here? For 45 years, I've been crazy. The biggest problem in your life is not the world. The biggest problem in your life is not the devil. The biggest problem in your life is you. Michael T. Keenan got Mike Keenan in way more trouble than the devil or the world ever did. Right? Well, I'm just figuring you're just as wicked as I am, and so you got the same problems that I got.
Amen.
You don't think you're as wicked as I am? You're probably wickeder than I am.
Amen.
Romans 6. Self-righteous people, what are you going to do with them? You can't do nothing with them. Bunch of Pharisees. Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This guy came in, he's probably 40 years old, okay? I'm 68 years old. I mean, I got this guy, okay? He wasn't a big hulking guy, but he was pretty big. Do you know that when I just go to witness to him, do you know that there's still a little bit of something holding me back? What is that? The Holy Ghost. What is it? It's the flesh.
Amen.
You're going to embarrass yourself. He's going to cuss you out. He's going to make fun of you. That's why you don't witness.
Amen.
Why can't? Well, you know, what? That's your flesh.
Amen.
So you make provision for your flesh. Amen. Don't ever get yourself in a situation where you might have to witness. And we should be ashamed of the Lord? Us? He should be ashamed of us.
Amen.
But the truth is, Anna, he's not.
Amen.
He loves us.
Amen.
Now, you'd think we'd love him enough to say something about it.
Amen.
So he says, verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin. Well, anyway, what I went on to say is, yeah, I had that initial fleshly reaction, but I'm not letting my flesh run me. So I asked him, are you a born-again Christian? I don't ask, you know, probably in the past I would ask, are you a Christian? Well, everybody's a Christian nowadays. No, I said, are you a born-again? And I try different things sometimes, you know. Sometimes I ask him, do you go to church? So he asked me, he said, where do you go to church? And I said, I go to Old Paths Baptist Church in Akron. He goes, do you? He goes, I go, yeah. He goes, who's the pastor there? I said, I am. I said, he's a great guy.
Wow.
Oh, my. Verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, what? Give me another word for reign. Rule. Well, what's ruling you? It should be the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And we know very clearly when it's not, do we not?
Amen.
Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto? What does he want to do with you? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. Okay, listen to me. I'm going to say this until I die. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was get saved.
Amen.
The second greatest thing that ever happened to me was marrying that girl right there. The third greatest thing that ever happened to me is I went to church after I got saved and I got addicted.
Amen.
Nobody ever had to call me up and go, why aren't you in church?
Amen.
I got addicted.
Amen.
And I am telling you, the Lord has been so good to us. Me and that woman have lived a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life. He's been so good. He's been good when I'm faithful. He's been good when I've been unfaithful. He's been good when I've done right, and he's been good when I've done wrong, because he's been merciful to me. Never did I come to the Lord. Never did I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I messed up again. I sinned. Lord, I confess. Never did he say, I'm tired of you. I'm tired of that. Get out of here. Get out of here. Never. Sweet Holy Ghost, wrap his arms around me and say, I'm so glad you came. I've got mercy that endureth forever.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin.
Amen.
Said, I love you. And I tell him I love him.
Amen.
And we go on down the road. Amen. And I'm still here. I'm still going. It's a wonderful, you kids, I am telling you, people will lie to you. The devil will lie to you. The world will lie to you. You'll have a good life if you stay with God.
Amen.
You stay in that book. You stay in a good church. You stay with God's man. God will bless you.
Amen.
It's a great life. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. Yeah. I can't brag on him enough.
Amen.
Surely goodness and mercy. I'll never forget Farley preaching one time, even when I fall down, I get run over by the goodness and mercy of God because it follows me. And even when I fall down, it runs me over. It helps me up, gets me on. He's a wonder. We got a great God. I was eating a peach the other day, a peach. Grabbed one. It was a white peach. You ever eat a white peach? It's pretty good. Well, I was still hungry, so I grabbed another one. I thought it was a white peach. It was a regular peach. And I said, look, man, our Creator is such a great God. He makes white peaches, and he makes regular peaches. He makes all the different fruits. I'm getting big on fruits here.
Amen.
Not because I'm fruity. There's God, and I'm going to get to see him. Dawn, one day I'm going to stand right in front of him. I'm going to see the manifestation of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It'll be the glorified Savior with the wounds in his hands and his side of his feet. I want a life that's been lived for him. Well, Peter, my flesh doesn't want me to live for him. And your flesh doesn't want you to live for him. Well, we ought not to make provision for our flesh. It's vital. It's vital. We confess our sins. Don't yield. Verse 13. Yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion. You know what sin you have in your life? The sin you want in your life. You can have victory over any sin you want to have victory over. That is a promise from God. You just make provision for your flesh because you have an idol in that sin, whatever it might be. For you're not under the law, but under grace. I want to be used of the Lord. I was talking to Mary Mather, taught Pastor Matt when he was a little kid. She was a Sunday school. She taught most of my kids. I forget what age group she taught. But she took it very seriously. She prayed for her kids. She studied that book. She was full of God. And all of my kids can remember Mary Mather teaching them. And when we were talking, we mentioned that you celebrated your 30th spiritual birthday. And I told him about him preaching and giving a testimony. I said, Mary, in his testimony, he remembered you and the godly influence you were in your Sunday school. Tears started running down her face, buddy. So many times that old smutty face come up and say, you ain't doing nothing. And I'm sure that lady's been through some dark times. And me just reminding her she had an influence on a man of God that God called to preach and been faithful all these years. As a child, she had an influence on them. Amen. That'll make it. Amen. That'll take care of it, guys. That'll do something for the Lord. All of y'all, in whatever ministries that you get the privilege to be in, you can have an influence on somebody's life. God, but you can't do it in the flesh. You will have to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And you won't be filled if you make provision for that flesh. Don't make excuses for your flesh. Allow the Holy Ghost to control you. Yield to Him on purpose. Walk in the Spirit.